support this NPR station.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, today we're going to open up the phone lines, take your phone calls, talk about some of those big issues in the news, some of those issues we heard just now on the NPR News. And when we do take your phone calls, the number to call is 813-239-9663. First, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Part of the show we spent talking about the usurpation of local power by the state legislature, which has gotten involved in a lot of local issues and told local governments that Tallahassee knows best. Here's what two listeners had to say following yesterday's show.
My name is Jeff in Tampa. I've been here 30 years, went to USF. Main problem we have with Tallahassee, they treat us like a bunch of country bumpkins. We have, for better or worse, we have a diverse population in the state, 21 million. However, they just want to use the Trump model of government and basically take all the air out of the tires of local government. They have the effrontery to say, no, you can't have the transit tax. No, you can't ban plastic bags. They have no interest in us. They don't care. They act like we're the residents of Louisiana or Mississippi. Really time to get to undo the Republicans' death grip on Congress. And please keep up the good fight, Rob. Thank you so much.
This is Elijah in Tarpon Springs. I had a comment about a caller's call when she said that Jane Castor was not going to allow civil disobedience or protests on her streets. And I just thought, firstly, that, well, they're not her streets, they're all of our streets. And that's kind of like saying that Trump, being the lead man in the federal government, that he wouldn't allow the FCC to allow civil disobedience or scrutiny upon him on his airwaves. I saw a parallel there, and I don't understand her seriousness of it, but it just came up to me very obviously that it's not their possessions, it's all of ours.
Well, there you have a couple of listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. I'm going to read some news stories from the Associated Press, and then we'll take your phone calls. We'll get also some news from the New York Times and from Florida Public Radio. In the Bahamas, the death toll has risen to 50, but it's likely to go higher. The Bahamian government says it's possible some victims were washed out to sea and may never be found, while many other bodies are feared buried in the rubble in the Bahamas. There are about 76,000 people left homeless and in need of assistance in the Abaco Islands in Grand Bahama. Thousands of hurricane survivors are filling boats and airplanes in Nassau, the capital, facing the need to start new lives elsewhere after Hurricane Dorian wrecked part of the island. President Trump's Sharpie-modified forecast for Hurricane Dorian continues to cause trouble. The latest is that the Commerce Secretary is threatening to fire people. The Secretary of Commerce in the Trump administration is threatening to fire top employees at the Federal Science Agency responsible for weather forecasts. Last Friday, after the agency's Birmingham office contradicted President Trump's claim that Hurricane Dorian might hit Alabama. This is according to three people familiar with the discussion. This is being reported by the New York Times. Here's more on the threat to fire people by Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. We're going to get a report from Florida Public Radio.
In the world of hurricane forecasting, details matter, and credibility is everything. So when the president presented an altered hurricane map last week to bolster his claim that Alabama had been threatened by Dorian, hurricane forecasters were stunned. At the time, Dorian was moving up the Florida coast about 100 miles northeast of Daytona after decimating the Abaco Islands.
When they try to discredit the National Weather Service, it kind of sows this distrust in people, which is not a safe thing, especially when the National Weather Service was right in the first place.
Brian McNulty is a hurricane researcher at the University of Miami's Rosenstiel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science.
And then you have people that would hear about this whole sequence of events, be like, oh, maybe we shouldn't trust the Weather Service.
Max Mayfield is the former director of the National Hurricane Center. In an email, he said NOAA's press release threw its own weather forecasters under the bus. How another graphic from the South Florida Water Management District wound up at the White House remains unclear. NOAA officials did not respond to a request for an interview. I'm Jenny Stiletovich in Miami.
Well, let's take a few phone calls right now, and there's a whole lot more news to talk about, but these are several possible stories. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to John in Tampa. John, what would you like to talk about?
Hi, Rob. We just had an hour of alternative radio with David Barsamyan and guest Carolyn Fredrickson laying out the strategy for the last 20 years, really, of the Republican Party in every aspect of life, media, talk radio, TV, news, publishing, everything, journalism. And it's really quite vicious. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I called and made a point about the straws, and like a mere mortal, I had brain freeze. Some of us aren't like you, Rob. We get a little brain freeze now and then, and you're always very...
No, I get it. I get brain freezes, too. You're not the only one. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know. Anyway, I only finished half my thought. It was about the straws, the Trump straws, and the tenacity with which these crazies, these tinfoil people, hat people, really are like anti-climate, change truth. They're anti... I mean, anyway, the tenacity. And now they have Sharpies that they're selling, Trump Sharpies, and they're raising millions of dollars. This is what you're dealing with. So my overall point in reflection of the show we just had, if people were lucky enough to hear it just now, is that I'm afraid, and I really say this with a lot of sadness, that the progressives and the Democratic Party have got to go into the sewer. I'm sorry. We have to keep doing what we're doing. Calm, intelligent approach to lawmaking and bringing in new groups that are marginalized, all these wonderful things that we do. But it's not enough. We have to get down in the sewer also, almost like the worldwide wrestling or whatever it's called. It has to be that crazy. We have to answer this because we're dealing with low information people. My last thought is, and that's the only way to reach them. And I guess my last thought is that that it's very unfortunate that we have to do that. But I really do. We have to hold our noses, and we have to go into the sewer and start educating a lot of these people, whatever it requires. And, I mean, you have a sample of network news, talk radio, and the loud explosions and the fanfare and all the, march to catastrophe. They just can't tell you there's a hurricane coming. It has to be all these graphics and all. It's craziness. And I'm sorry, but we have to. People like Bill Maher and Oliver, they're far too intellectual. They're funny. But I think we have to get down deeper into the sewer.
All right, John, thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Okay, I think people get it, what you're thinking. It's sort of the opposite of what Michelle Obama said, right? When they go low, we go high. That's what Michelle Obama said. If you're a progressive, do you agree with John that you got to get in the sewer? Elections are really fought over the margins. So a lot of people have already made up their mind that they're going to vote either Democrat or Republican, or they're going to vote for a third party in 2020. A lot of people have already made up their mind. And the margins are what people fight over. And we're talking about maybe, my guess is 5% of the voting population. The election in 2020 is going to be close. If you think that fighting over that margin of 5% means going into the gutter, let us know. And if you disagree with that, if you think that elections should be fought on about intellectual things and smart reasoning. Speaking of elections, we're going to play a new ad that I think you might find interesting that a candidate is running. I want to get your take on it. We'll also hear from President Trump, some of what he said yesterday and last night. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. This is Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to David in Tampa. David, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Rob. Hey, I find this whole Sharpiegate thing really interesting. And, it's more about Trump's damaged ego than anything else. And I think it's more information that we can arm ourselves with to invoke the 25th Amendment, because he's really putting his damaged psyche above public safety when it comes to the weather and hurricanes. And I don't know.
How do you know his psyche is damaged?
Because, like, why else, you know, try to fire these NOAA and National Hurricane Center folks unless, you know, it's like he was just mad that the NOAA responded that way.
So you think it's an odd fight for somebody in power, it's an odd fight for somebody to have and to care so much about it and to expand the map using a Sharpie. You think it shows an odd character behavior?
It's so ridiculous. And it's only Trump would do that. I mean, there's no other president that would do something so stupid and think we wouldn't notice, you know. I don't know. It's ridiculous. I loved what the guy prior said about there being like a Trump Sharpie. And I think you could have like a little red baseball cap for the cap. And it says, you know, make weather great again on the cap. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. And I'm just tired of Trump and his followers. And I don't get why the followers keep falling for his BS, you know.
All right. Well, David, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts. If you want to disagree with David, you can call us up 813-239-9663. Let's go to John Port Richey. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks, Rob. A couple of things. I'll try to be quick. First of all, it just amazes me that what this administration would do to support Trump's falsehoods, like trying to, what Ross was going to fire employees of the Commerce Department because they disagreed with Trump, kind of makes me wonder what would the administration do when criminal charges are on the line, like maybe if he interfered with the elections with Russia. He wouldn't do nothing. He'd just say, fine, let's let it go, you know? The other thing maybe you can help me with here, I don't really listen to MSNBC or CNN or read the New York Times, but did they slam Obama when he said that he would meet with Iran without any preconditions? Do you know that?
You know, I don't remember President Obama saying that he would meet with Iran without preconditions. Did he say that?
He said that during his campaign. I think he said that as the president, that he'd be willing to sit down and talk to the Iranian president or government without any preconditions. I think he said that during one of the...
That may be true. I'll try to fact check that in the next few seconds. But go ahead. So your point being?
So my point is that I don't think the so-called liberal media or fake news that I hear on conservatives saying said that they slammed Obama about that. And I'm not sure if they're slamming Trump on this, what he said, that he would sit down and meet them. But I find it interesting that Hannity slammed Obama for that. Day in and day out, but yet they're not saying anything with Trump doing this. So that just leads me to think, which one tends to be more fake? The one that is consistent on doing the same thing, like not slamming Obama and not slamming Trump, or the ones that slam Obama and then don't slam Trump? Just my thought there.
Yeah, you know, I think there are some interesting quotes if you match up what President Obama said and took heat for, and then you match up what President Trump has said, and he's not taking heat for from Fox News. There are some interesting quotes out there. I cannot find a quote, at least in my limited search, for President Obama saying that he would meet with Iran with no preconditions. I do see a quote from President Trump. Says that he would meet with Iran's president with no preconditions. That quote was in June of this year, and you can find one of the sources on that is the Los Angeles Times.
Okay, I'll send you this thing for Media Matters. They talk about that, but they're talking more about how Hannity slammed Obama said while talking that he would meet Iran without preconditions to reach a deal that would end the country's nuclear weapons program.
Well, we know that the Obama administration oversaw a deal that was multi-country to get Iran to limit its Limit its enrichment of uranium. That's not really a weapons program. It could be a weapons program if the uranium is enriched to 90%. Right now, Iran is enriching it a little bit beyond what the agreement is, to like 4% or 4.5%. But that's not nearly strong enough to make weapons at this point. But we know that President Obama went ahead and had a deal with Iran, and he was completely trashed by Fox News. They made up this idea that President Obama gave money out of the U.S. Treasury to Iran. That was not true. So there is some hypocrisy now, because I don't think that President Trump has been savaged in the way that President Obama was savaged. President Trump has said that he's open to talks with Iran without preconditions. And that seems to me, if you're going to be tough on Obama, you probably want to be tough in the same way on President Trump. If it was okay with what President Trump has said, then you probably should have been okay with what Obama did. So
that's what I would think, and that leads to me to think which is more fair and which one isn't, which one's more, quote, well, first of all, Hannity is not news, he's opinion, so it's right there, but people take him as news. So just the boggles my brain once again how they get away with that, and how they keep saying the other people are fake while I listen to what they say is fake.
Well, I think, I think a lot of people look to try to find a news source, unfortunately, that upholds their preconceived notions of the world. And so a lot of people are turning to Fox News because it holds a preconceived notion. I think you got to give credit to MSNBC, and I'm not a huge MSNBC fan, but you got to give credit to Lawrence O'Donnell last week, who apologized for putting out this apparently erroneous story that Russian oligarchs were co-signers on loans to President Trump. Now, he was wrong to say that without any sort of backup the previous night, but he did come out and correct himself. I cannot think of a time where Sean Hannity has come out and corrected something that he said.
And that's the difference between real news and fake news. You're going to make mistakes. You might jump the gun. You might get some facts incorrect, but then you go back and correct it. And once again, I think Hannity did correct himself when he was talking about Seth Rich, when he said that was all suggested that it was a hit by the Hillary campaign. I think because he realized that news was actually propagated by the Russians, that he finally backtracked on that and took it off the air. But once again, he was pushing actual fake news. Okay, thanks, Rob.
All right, John, thank you. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. I talked about the effects of the hurricane in the Bahamas. I talked about the ongoing Sharpie controversy involving President Trump and the threat by his administration to fire top officials at the Weather Service for contradicting the president. Some other news. This is from the New York Times. This just came out a few minutes ago. About 27.5 million people, or 8.5% of the population, lacked health insurance for all of 2018. That's up about 7.9% from the year before, the Census Bureau reported this morning. It was the first increase since the Affordable Care Act took full effect in 2014, and experts said it was at least partly the result of the Trump administration's efforts to undermine the Obamacare law. Well, the National Rifle Association is suing San Francisco, where city officials recently declared the gun rights lobby a terrorist organization. The NRA says in its lawsuit that the city is infringing on its free speech rights and is seeking to blacklist anyone associated with it. The lawsuit was filed yesterday in federal court in California. Last week, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors passed a resolution calling the NRA a, quote, domestic terrorist organization. The resolution followed some recent high-profile shootings, including one in Gilroy, California, where a gunman entered a festival with an AK-style rifle, killing three people and shooting and injuring 17 before killing himself. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. A conservative television network is suing Rachel Maddow for calling the network paid Russian propaganda. The network is called One America News. It seeks $10 million in damages in a federal suit filed yesterday, also in California. The suit alleges that Maddow's comments on her July 22nd show were retaliation after OAN's president accused Comcast of censorship for refusing to carry the channel. The suit also names MSNBC its parent and Comcast. Maddow's comment referenced the fact that an OAN employee also wrote for Sputnik News, which is linked to the Russian government. OAN says his Sputnik freelance work is unrelated to his duties at OAN. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Wilbur in Plant City. Wilbur, you're on. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a couple things. First, you remember when Clinton was president, they were always bad-mouthing him. What, he didn't go to Vietnam. And Trump didn't go to Vietnam. And he's come up with some lame excuse. He had calluses or something like
that. Yeah, he had bone spurs, yeah.
Yeah. And another thing, on a lighter note, you remember a while back, Trump said he talked to the president of the Virgin Islands.
I don't remember that. Did he really say that?
Yes, he did.
And well, he is the president of the Virgin Islands, isn't he? So he must have talked to himself.
Yeah, he said that. He said he had talked to the president of the Virgin Islands. All right, Mark, thanks for everything.
Okay.
Say hello to Mark. Say hello
to
Mark.
All right, Mark's going
to
be along in a moment. He'll be a lot more fun than I am. But Wilbur, thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. And Jan Simpson is our phone producer today. We want to thank Jan for coming in. Let's go to Tim in Tampa. Tim, you're on. What would you like
hey,
to say?
How you doing, Rob? Great show. I think the guy is correct about Obama, that they went nuts when he said he was willing to meet with some of the dictators or whatever in the future when he first was either senator or running for president or he was the president. But that was a controversy. But that's not what I call. But what I call for is, all this craziness with Trump, I'm just really amazed at America. The guy just misspoke. He wasn't doing his homework. He's out golfing. He misspoke about Alabama. He does not have the intestinal fortitude to say, you know what, I'm sorry, folks, I just misspoke about Alabama. Instead, he goes and do this stupid poster, and all the people around him are enabling him. I'm just really disappointed at this country to sit there. You know, what is wrong with the Republican Party? Wilbur Ross and these guys, if what he did to FEMA was ridiculous. I cannot understand why someone was standing there with him, with that poster with a Sharpie, and he sit there and tried to explain when he just misspoke.
Well, and Tim, I agree with you. I think it's a mistake. I mean, if I was advising President Trump, I would say it's a mistake to keep referencing the Sharpie, because the Sharpie has become an object of ridicule, and it's like a child with a crayon trying to correct something. You know, maybe they damaged the furniture, so they put brown,
exactly,
crayon on the furniture, so you didn't know that the child had scraped the furniture or whatever. It's what a child would do, and for the president's people to pay attention to the Sharpie, I think that hurts him. And my advice, if they were asking me for my advice, don't mention the Sharpie, because it's a point of ridicule.
Exactly, and my point is, why would they allow him to do that? I mean, opposed to saying, sir, go back out there and just say you misspoke. But if they would do something that small and that stupid and immature and dumb, what else are they doing?
And over again, there are examples where people have come forward, apologized, and the public, I think, understands an honest apology.
Exactly. But he was out golfing. He didn't do his homework like most things. And he's speaking off the cuff and don't do his homework. That's what happened. You know, but he would never admit that. And then all these people behind him enabling and enabling him. We're in a serious problem in this country with this president.
All right, Tim, thanks for your thoughts. Thank you. That's Tim. Let's go to Mickey in Bradenton. Mickey, you're on. What would you like to say? Hi, Mickey.
Hello,
you're on.
Hey. As far as that Trump and the hurricane bubble of uncertainty, he was probably briefed the day before, and it was shown to him. And what that bubble shows is not where the hurricane winds are going to be. It's the bubble of uncertainty as to where the eye of the storm could be. So in 5 days, the map that Trump showed that the eye of the storm could have been about 100 miles from Alabama. And if that was the case, then the strong winds and very potentially tornadoes could have affected Alabama. So what we have to do is get that picture in our mind for what it means. And what it means is where the eye of the storm was projected to go in 5 days. So Alabama was very potentially under the influence if that forecast had come to pass.
Well, I would caution you, because the president has access to the best information if he wants to use it in the country. So what he did, stick with me for just one moment. So what the president did was during the height of everybody's concern about the direction of this hurricane, he came out with information that was 4 days old and said people in Alabama should be concerned, when that was already four-day-old information. Now, it's a crime in this country to put out false information in a weather forecast. And what the president did was he put out false information. And he, if he wanted to, could say to his staff, give me the latest forecast about the hurricane. You and I could do that. You and I can go to the National Weather Service and look up on the hurricane map, and we can get information that's 3 hours old or less. We can get the latest information on our own with our computers. But the president failed to do that and gave out four-day-old information during the height of national concern about the direction of this storm. And the National Weather Service in Alabama got calls from people who said, I just saw the president say this. I'm alarmed. Is it true? And the National Weather Service had to say to these concerned people in Alabama, Alabama is not in the cone. So the president was irresponsible for putting out four-day-old information. Forgive me.
He was completely misinformed. It was his responsibility to be informed.
Exactly.
And to convey the correct information.
That's right.
And he failed to do so. I mean, it was just
right. It was a failure of leadership on his part. He should be in command of the best data possible, and he was not.
Right, right. My only point was that map, as old as it was, it did at the time that it came out have Alabama.
Right, but it was updated since then.
Somewhat.
It was updated since then. It was updated since then. He came out 4 days after that map. That map was fresh 4 days before he put up that map. He was not giving out current information. As somebody that does weather all the time, I can tell you that the Hurricane Center updates storm information every 3 hours, 5 a.m., 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m. It happens throughout the day. You don't have to wait 4 days to get updated information. And it was irresponsible of him to put out that information. So, Mickey, it was not a responsible thing for the president to do.
Okay, now this, we're talking about Dorian. Now, as far as Dorian going up the east coast of Florida, you know that Florida was under this massive hurricane warning, and there was all kinds of pandemonium forecast. And of course, we know that these things did not come to pass. Neither the wind nor the surge. There was some rain, but very, very little compared to what we were told to expect occurred. And our Governor DeSantis went back to the federal government and he said, listen, we did what we were told, and now we would like some compensation because the forecast, I'm still trying to figure this out.
All right. Mickey, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. I don't really want to go down too much more of this because we've been discussing the hurricane a lot here on the show for the last 4 or 5 days. I'm more concerned, frankly, about the recovery of the people in the Bahamas. And, I did bring up this subject because some meteorologists are being threatened with getting fired under the Trump administration. But I don't think there's any justification for giving out four-day-old information. Now, if somebody's got a good reason why it's okay to give out four-day information, I would like to see it. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Yesterday, the president was asked whether or not he would debate any of the three people who are running in the Republican primary against him for president. And this is what the president had to say to reporters.
You know, I don't even know who they are, other than I know that, I guess you could say no, but I don't know them. I don't know them. I would say this, they're all at less than 1%. I guess it's a publicity stunt. We just got, a little while ago, 94% popularity or approval rating within the Republican Party. So, to be honest, I'm not looking to give them any credibility. They have no credibility. One was a person that voted for Obama, ran as a vice president 4 years ago, and was soundly defeated. Another one got thrown out after one term in Congress, and he lost in a landslide. And the third one, Mr. Tallahassee Trail or Appalachian Trail. He's the Appalachian Trail, right? The Tallahassee Trail is nice, too, but I think he was the Appalachian Trail. But he wasn't on the Appalachian Trail. He was in Argentina.
Well, the president there saying that he's not going to debate the other Republicans who are planning to run for president against him. Do you think the president should debate the other Republicans? I saw one poll, and this is just one poll, so it doesn't matter a whole lot. But William Weld, who was the guy that the president described as running for vice president a few years ago, William Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts, has 16% already in New Hampshire, one of the most important states in the country, one of the early primary states. So William Weld not doing too bad against the president in New Hampshire. We'll see where those polls go. But the president talked about his 94% approval rating, apparently not so in New Hampshire. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. The president was campaigning last night for a congressional candidate in southern North Carolina. And he had this to say to the crowd in North Carolina.
Crazy what's happening. This whole thing with sanctuary cities. And you go to California, which is so many sanctuary cities. They don't know what's happening out there. You have people that want to get rid of those sanctuary cities. They just aren't able to do it with the people that get elected. A lot of illegal voting going on out there, by the way. A lot of illegal voting. It's like, did you ever really sort of feel where you don't even have to treat people nicely? You don't have any choice. You have to vote for me. I can leave right now. I can say, North Carolina, I've had it with you. I'm leaving right now. And you know what? You got to go out and vote. What are you going to do? Put one of these crazy people running our country again? But it's never been so far left. A vote for any Democrat in 2020 and a vote for any Democrat tomorrow in North Carolina is a vote for the rise of radical socialism and the destruction of the American dream.
President Trump last night in North Carolina. What do you think about what he said? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Lewis in Clearwater says, Democrats need to play the same game the fascists do. This is Lewis's words. He says, anyone who wants to help the American people is a socialist. We need to refer to them as fascists. Capitalism without socialism is fascism. That's a Lewis email. Scott says, just because President Trump slept with Stormy Daniels doesn't make him a weatherman, writes Scott. I like that, Scott. Very good. Elio writes this, I hope people can see the threat of firing employees for contradicting 45 or for what it truly is. What's next? Executing journalists, arresting dissidents and artists? This is a slow march towards fascism if we the people will allow it. Well, to that point, Elio, let me read this email from somebody who calls himself Smelly Walmart. And I think this comes from Jeff in Newport Richey. Let me read this. I mean, when we talk about the danger to our country, this is what Jeff says. He says, the left already is crazy and in the sewer. Don't be surprised if Antifa starts getting executed in the streets by lawful gun owners. Now, is that a threat from this person? What do you think? That's somebody who I think is, it's fair to say, is a conservative supporter of President Trump, suggesting that Antifa members will be shot by gun owners. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. There's also the first steps in Washington to set the rules for the upcoming impeachment hearings. Let's hear a story from the Associated Press.
The House Judiciary Committee plans to vote Thursday on the possible impeachment of President Donald Trump. Although many Democrats are not eager to start the impeachment process, the House Judiciary Committee is willing to map out the technical steps and escalation of the panel's investigations of President Trump. The committee would still have to introduce impeachment articles against Trump and win approval from the House to bring charges. Even if that did happen, the Republican-led Senate is extremely unlikely to convict Trump or see him removed from office. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Well, so the House this week are moving towards taking the first steps towards impeachment. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. I promised I'd play an ad, and this loses some a bit because the video is very powerful. But you may remember, if you remember talking about the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, over and over again, the question came up, did Iraq have nuclear weapons? And this next person, her husband, had traveled to around the world looking for proof, especially in Africa, that Iraq had nuclear weapons. For traveling around the world and doing that, and then writing an op-ed about the fact that Iraq did not have yellow cake uranium needed to build nuclear weapons, his wife, who was a CIA agent, this guy was an ambassador, his wife was outed by the Bush administration. And her life was in danger. Her name is Valerie Plame. And they made a film about it in 2010. She's running for Congress. And this is an ad featuring her driving a really hot Chevy Camaro down a dirt road in New Mexico, and she announced yesterday she's running for Congress. And let's listen to this ad and want to get what you take about it.
I was an undercover CIA operative. My assignment was preventing rogue states and terrorists from getting nuclear weapons. You name a hotspot, I lived it. Then, Dick Cheney's chief of staff took revenge against my husband and leaked my identity. His name? Scooter Libby. Guess who pardoned him last year? I come from Ukrainian Jewish immigrants. Dad was in the Air Force. My brother almost died in Vietnam. My service was cut short when my own government betrayed me. We left Washington to raise our kids in New Mexico, one of the best places on Earth. Now I'm running for Congress because we're going backwards on national security, health care, and women's rights. We need to turn our country around. And yes, the CIA really does teach us how to drive like this. You've probably heard my name. And Mr. President, I've got a few scores to settle.
Well, that's Valerie Plame. She was outed as a CIA agent during the Bush administration after her husband, U.S. diplomat Joe Wilson, wrote an op-ed raising questions about the justification for the 2003 invasion of Iraq. For that, she was outed. Her life was in danger. She was outed by Scooter Libby, who is an aide to President Bush. Trump pardoned Libby last year after Libby was convicted of crimes. Now Plame is running for Congress in New Mexico. She's a Democrat, a staunch critic of President Trump. That's her ad. I'll send you the ad, too, if you want to see it. The video is a lot better than the audio. If you email me at dj@wmnf.org, I'll send you the ad. What do you think? Is that the kind, somebody called up earlier and said Democrats have to fight back tougher. Is that the kind of fighting back that you think Democrats need to do to win? Our phone number, 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And John wrote back, one of our callers, I think, wrote this back. He said, while running for president and during his presidency, Obama made clear that his vision for America's foreign policy involved meeting with Iran. In 2009, Obama said that he was willing to talk to Iran without preconditions to reach a deal that would end the country's nuclear weapons program. Obama said again in 2013 he would sit down with Iranian leadership, but only if the regime signaled it was serious about giving up its nuclear weapons. Now, this was sent to me. The source on that this is not attached. And John, if you could send me the source, because I think that's the key. Who is reporting that? I'm not doubting you, but what's the source? Always send a source. Don't believe something that you read without looking at who the source is. Okay, let's go to Joshua in Lakeland. Joshua, you're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Well, hi. Thank you, as always, for a wonderful, insightful show. And I know you're sick to death of hearing about the weather map. However, it was done, I think, for a reason. Because while he was putting that up, he was also inviting the Taliban to a meeting at Camp David that nobody knew about.
Well, that may be true.
You know, classic misdirect. Hey, look at this. I drew a Sharpie on a map.
But do you think the President Trump knew he was looking silly and stupid for doing that, or and that was the way he was misdirecting?
I don't think he's smart enough for that, but I think that in dragging the story out for as long as it's been dragged out, you know, there's it's a misdirect.
What do you think about trying to end the war in Afghanistan?
Oh, I'm in favor of it.
So the president's doing a good thing by
David.
Right, but if he was trying to end the war, isn't he doing a good thing?
And excuse me?
If he's trying to end the war, isn't he doing a good thing?
If he's trying to end it, that's doing a good thing. But how is he trying to end it?
Well, it looks like it's blown up in his face, but
yeah.
All right. Well, Joshua, thanks. Thanks for that. It may have been misdirection, but then the president would have to know that people thought he looked really stupid using the Sharpie, and he was going to make himself look stupid. Is that it? I don't know. I don't know if the president's wily enough to do that. Let's go to Donna in Myakka City. Donna, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I called for one reason, and you've addressed so many things since then. And first of all, yeah, he's awful stupid. But he's so stupid, in fact, that I don't know if he even realizes. I don't, like you said, I don't think he's got the smarts to figure it out that way. Or maybe he realized it afterwards and just, you know, built on it. The first reason that I called, because I was on hold for a little bit, is the question that you asked, should he debate other Republicans? And I think he should, because I'm sure anybody in a debate could just flatten him. And the Republican Party needs to see that there's other people out there, not that I'm anywhere near voting for a Republican, but at least it would give a chance for somebody else to, I don't know, prove how stupid he is.
Well, but Donna, you're giving that advice as a, I assume, like a Democrat or a liberal or a progressive.
Yeah.
But how would you make the case if you were a conservative? How would you make the case that President Trump ought to debate the other Republicans that are running against him?
Well, would that be like a conservative that's just crazy about him and nobody else, or just a basic regular conservative?
Let's say a President Trump supporter.
I guess I would probably vote against it because I would just want him and nothing else, right? Because that's
How would you call into a radio show and argue to the, you know,
that he shouldn't have a debate?
That he should have a debate. That would be in the best interest of the party to have a debate.
I guess I would just go on my fanaticism and say that he's the greatest thing in the world and nobody can touch him, just like he tried to exaggerate his numbers just with the clips that you played before.
Well, maybe. All right. Well, Donna, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Good to hear from you. I'm glad you called. Now, John wrote back and said that his source on the Obama quote, being willing to meet to talk with Iran, is The Guardian, January 21st, 2009. John, thanks for clarifying that. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Adam writes this: I'm amazed at how many people are arguing that Trump was correct to use outdated information. It's like someone saying, see, I was right when I said that there are only 45 states. Just look at the flag from 1846, writes Adam. Adam, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. I'm going to read the signed emails because we've got a lot of unsigned emails, and that's fine, but I'm going to just read the signed ones. Jim writes this: I thought your audience might like to know that I was advised recently by my Uber driver that more people were killed by hammers than guns in this country. Where do they get this stuff, and how can anyone with half a brain believe it? Yeah, the number of gun killings is far more than the number of hammer killings. That's right, Jim. Thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Sulphur Springs in Tampa. John, you're on. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how y'all doing over there?
Good. How are you?
Oh, magnificent as usual. In any case, Trump's beginning to sound more and more like Jim Jones down Guyana way. They start passing out Kool-Aid. Everybody better take off to the hills. And as far as him having it now, he's riding the golden dragon. He's going to ride it right up to the hilt and take more if he can get it. He knows all the underhanded ways to go about getting what you want whenever they're not going to openly let you have it. For instance, border wall. In any case, hopefully this thing will work out where not too many people get killed and they'll kick him out of there. And maybe get a reasonable person in there and maybe get a younger crowd up in there. So you have a good day, and I appreciate it.
All right, John, thank you. We've got an open line. You'll be able to get through right away. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jose in Tarpon Springs. Jose, you're on. Hi, Jose.
Hey, how's it going today?
We got the bad line, unfortunately, but what's up?
I thought it was something odd. Well, I'll try to make it quick then. You know, they were talking about what your argument is if I was a Trump supporter for wanting Trump to debate his primary opponents. And, you know, everything they hear about Trump that the Democrats are saying, well, basically true, are being completely ignored by the right wing because they assume, oh, that's the ranting of the left. But any phrase you can use, imbecile, infantile, corrupt, all of that fits him. But they're terrified of hearing it from an actual Republican. And that's what would happen if they debate. He would lose it. What would happen for Trump in a Republican debate would be a precursor to how he would get slaughtered by any of the Democratic opponents. I mean, he got away with the 2016 debates because he was an unknown quantity then, and no one, you know, they just assumed, oh well, you know, he's being that way, he's crazy like a fox, that kind of thing. But now they know he's pretty much incompetent at being a president, and to have it publicly put out by the Republicans would be completely damaging to him. I mean, they wouldn't win the nomination, but they would definitely do their damage.
Yeah, I don't think name calling works. It may work for a while. I think we were all shocked by the name calling of President Trump the first round. I'm kind of thinking that name calling is not going to work this time. That if you're a Republican and you're attacking President Trump, the best way to go about it is to say, the effects of the tax break were temporary, and that we didn't really see that much business investment. I would say that the trade wars have actually hurt American business, especially American farmers. And I would make case. If I were advising Trump's opponent, that's what I would say. I would say that there are concrete reasons.
Right, I'm not saying that their opponents would actually follow Trump's lead on that because it would make them sound, well, like Trump, and I'm sure they want to avoid that. But they would definitely be able to call him out on everything that Democrats are already calling him out. And this time it would stick a little more because they're Republicans.
Yeah, I think Republicans are less threatened by other Republicans, and they would listen to a William Weld or another Republican who made a solid argument. Yeah. All right,
which is why they don't want to have it.
Okay. Jose, thank you. Thank you for your phone call. Let's go to Paul, who's in Auburndale. Paul, you're on. Thank you for calling in.
Hi there. I love the show. I am so glad you're on the air. Regarding Sharpiegate, I think we should stop being surprised. It's somewhat a diversion, but there's evidence that he's been like this for years. He's mentally ill. I'm not a doctor, and he hasn't been examined by any doctors or anything. But, come on, drawing or directing or bullying somebody to draw on a mat just to prove a point where it's just a silly, honest mistake. We've all known people like this, and, you know, you're not a doctor, but you think there's something wrong with this guy. He needs help. So, in a way, we need to feel sorry for him, but people we really need to... direct or hire and discuss that are the people that allow him to stay in office and don't call him down. Primarily Republicans, but those are the people that we need to be mad at.
Yeah, I think if somebody sees the president either exhibiting some sort of problem with his mental capacity, if somebody sees him up close, somebody that sees him every day, and they're not speaking out, and I'm not saying that there is hard and fast evidence that the president has diminished mental capacity. But if it turns out to be true later on, if we find out that to be true, and the people around him are silent, that...
It's not...
Go ahead.
It's not diminished mental capacity. It's an illness. Some very smart people suffer from brain disease, for lack of a better term. Depression, schizophrenia... narcissistic personality disorder. We just need to have people that have guts. And it's tough when your job is on the line and you've got this fierce bully who's had years and years of practice of bullying and getting his own way. It's tough to stand up to it. But we, the electorate, need to write letters, make phone calls, paint signs, stand in the street, say, this sick person... who has the power to push the nuclear button, his big red button, we need to get rid of him or rein him in somehow.
All right, Paul, thank you. Thank you for your phone call. All right, good to hear from you. Here's an email from Ron in Tampa. He says, it's amazing what lengths people who support Trump will go in order to justify his blatant missteps. Trump is not a leader. He's a shyster who says whatever he wants, and sadly, so many people believe it, whether it's denying climate change or disparaging hurricane-ravaged Bahamians, writes Ron, who's in Tampa. 813-239-9663. Rick writes this: what is sad about the Sharpie incident is once again Trump relies on the American public to be less than intelligent, and that should be greeted with outrage, not excuses or threatened firings. That's Rick who's out there in cyberspace somewhere. And Bill writes this. He says, that writer who's threatening violence must be Jeff. I don't know if it's Jeff. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's see, a lot of people are writing in for the Valerie Plame commercial, so I will send that to them. Probably have to wait until I go off the air here. Let's go back to the phones, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And let's go to Mike in Nokomis. Mike, you're on. What would you like to say? Hi, Mike.
Hey, Rob. Yeah, always great to hear your show and have these discussions. I'm very worried. I've been a registered Republican for 20 years, and it gets hard to vote for any of these guys. I'm supporting Joe Walsh. I think there needs to be a debate. We have a major problem here. You know, it's kind of like Machiavelli. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. We're going to just keep letting this guy say whatever he says. Facts matter. Science matter. The whole thing with the National Weather Report is a perfect example. These people are trying to save the public and keep public safety number one with facts. They're not being political in the least. He uses three-day-old information and for some reason has to prove himself in the middle of a hurricane when there's people being ravaged in our state and all up in the Carolinas. It's just unbelievable. There needs to be another person.
Mike, we just have 15 seconds, but what makes Joe Walsh a better, what would make Joe Walsh a better president than President Trump?
Fiscal conservative and facts matter.
Well, those are good reasons. All right, Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay, and on that note, we're out of time. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks to Jan Simpson. She's been our phone producer today. Your hero, Mark Bureau, is coming up next right here on 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Tomorrow on this program, we're going to talk with a guy who thinks he has a solution to gun violence. So